past months, we've been reflecting together on the Gospel of Mark, and we turn this morning to Mark chapter 4, reading from verse 21. Mark 4, reading from verse 21. And Jesus said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." One of Jesus' preaching techniques was to ask questions of his hearers. Jesus was always looking for a way to engage his hearers, to win their interest and to capture their attention. And the question he posed in verse 21 would surely have left the crowd smiling. "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand?" The crowd would surely have been smiling, because who in their right mind would light a lamp and hide it under a bed? You light a lamp to place it on a lampstand to give light to all around. Lights are meant to illuminate and not to hide. You put a light on a stand so that everyone can see. So far, so good. But what point is Jesus making here? Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? What point is Jesus making here? Well, remember the immediate context. And the context is the foundational parable that we heard about last Sunday morning in verses 1 through 20, the parable of the sower and the soils. This seems to be the prototypical parable of the Lord Jesus Christ. It sheds light on all the other parables that follow in the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the parable of the sower and the soils, Jesus is teaching his hearers about the kingdom of God. Mark has announced that in chapter 1. Jesus has come, and as his public ministry begins, he begins by proclaiming the good news, the gospel, of the kingdom of God. God's kingdom had come into the world in a new and dramatic way in the coming of the King himself, Jesus Christ. And the great thematic note that runs throughout Mark's gospel is the note of the coming King and the coming kingdom of God. And so Jesus is challenging the crowd to stop and think and reflect on what he has just been teaching them about the parable of the sower and the soils. And it seems to me that Jesus has at least three things to teach us here about the kingdom of God. First of all, and very obviously, the message of God's kingdom, which essentially is the message of God's King of the kingdom, Jesus Christ, the message of the kingdom of God is never to be hidden, but always to be made known. There was a present concealment, a present hiddenness to God's kingdom in the King Jesus Christ. Who, looking at Jesus, not least as he hung upon the cross, bloodied and broken and the spit dripping down his beard, who would have ever looked and thought the glory of the kingdom of God? There was a present hiddenness, a present deliberate concealment to the glory of the kingdom of God in the coming of the King Jesus Christ. But soon that concealment and that hiddenness would end. It would end with the glorious resurrection on the third day of the Son of God in our flesh, Jesus Christ, when he would rise triumphant over sin and death and hell. And all the hiddenness and all the concealment would pass away into eternal oblivion. And Jesus Christ would be placarded as the risen Lord, the King over sin and death and hell. The day would soon come when Jesus the King would be set forth plainly and unambiguously as the light of the world. He would not remain concealed and hidden forever. And Jesus is simply telling us here and telling the crowd that the good news of the kingdom of God that foundationally and fundamentally concerned himself, for Jesus is himself the gospel. The gospel isn't something apart from Jesus. It's not even the message that Jesus taught. Jesus proclaimed himself. Come to me, he said, all you who are weary and burdened. I am the light of the world. He self-consciously proclaimed himself. And he's telling his hearers and telling his disciples and telling us this morning that the good news of the kingdom of God, the coming of the King in person to reign and to rule in the hearts and lives of men and women, is good news not for hiding, but for making known. Johnny quoted those words in Matthew 28, the last recorded words of our risen Lord before he ascended to the glory of his Father. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. The light of the good news of the kingdom of God, who is at its heart Jesus Christ himself. The good news of God is to be made known. And so one of the marks of a healthy, spiritually healthy church is that it seeks out every opportunity in the providence of God given to it to make known the saving grace of God in the coming of the King of God, Jesus Christ. And that's something we need to reflect upon as a congregation. Is that true of us in Cambridge Presbyterian Church? Are we people who seize every providentially given moment to place on a lampstand, as it were, the light of the gospel of the glory of God in Jesus Christ? Can you imagine someone discovering a cure for cancer and then keeping that good news to himself or herself, cherishing it in their own hearts, delighting over it, but never sharing the glorious good news with others? The good news of the kingdom of God is infinitely, infinitely more significant than any cure for cancer. Because the gospel, the good news of the King Jesus Christ, is God's cure for the disease that separates us from him and that will ultimately cast us eternally out of his presence into what the Bible calls outer darkness or hell. Now, it seems to me that this has got nothing actually or essentially to do with activities. This is not a plea that CPC or the Christian Church have more evangelistic activities, but that we cultivate, by the grace of God, evangelistic lifestyles, that we live evangelistic lives, that we do not hide who we are, whatever the cost may be, knowing that perhaps promotion will be shut down to us, glass ceilings will appear above us, erstwhile friends will depart from us. This is to do with living the kingdom of God, living in our lives the lordship of the King of that kingdom, Jesus Christ, unashamedly, unembarrassedly, unambiguously, come what may, God giving us the grace to do so. The message, the good news of the King of the kingdom, Jesus Christ, is for placing on a lampstand so that all may see and all may hear, and in the mercy of God that all might come. But then secondly, notice that the message of God's kingdom is not a riddle to leave people bewildered. Jesus often likens the gospel, the good news, as the New Testament does as a whole, to light. The Bible is not a book of riddles that leaves you unclear and uncertain. God has revealed plainly to all of us what we need to know about himself, about ourselves, about the world we live in, about how we got here, and what will happen to us when we die. God has not left us with riddles to solve. He's not left us with conundrums that only the brilliant can fathom and unravel. The message of God's kingdom is light, not darkness. Now, in Zen Buddhism, there is what's often said to be a profound saying. What sound does one hand clapping make? What sound does one hand clapping make? This is thought to be very profound, very deep, very mysterious. It's nonsense. It's silliness. It's tragic. What sound does one hand clapping make? It's not profound. It's silly. And when you turn to the message of the kingdom of God and the coming of the King of that kingdom, Jesus Christ, you're not confronted with silliness and profound esoteric statements that make you say, "My, this must be very profound. I haven't a clue what it says." Like listening to a preacher and at the end of the sermon you think, "He must be very brilliant because I didn't understand a word of the sermon." The heart of the message of the kingdom of God is light. In other words, God's revelation of himself, his saving revelation of himself in the coming of the King of the kingdom, Jesus Christ, is a revelation that essentially enlightens and doesn't darken. The message of the kingdom at its heart and core is exceedingly simple. In his own Son, the eternal God, who is from everlasting to everlasting, has come into the midst of his fallen creation to reign and rule in the hearts of his creatures and to bring them to his eternal glory. That's the heart of the good news of the kingdom of God. John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," is very deep, but actually it's also at the same time so simple, so exceedingly simple. I remember the first time I heard it, I didn't sit asking myself, "And who is this God? And what is the meaning of love? What's the philosophy of love? And what does Messiah mean? And what does only begotten mean? It just seemed to me in those few brief words, the most wonderful thing I had ever in my 17 years of life had heard. No dark, profound words. Not Ian, what sound does one hand clapping make? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That's why we need jealously to guard in the Christian church. And those of you who are academics here this morning, listen to this, but understand what I'm saying, because I hope you know me well enough to know what I'm saying and why I'm saying it. The message of the gospel can be understood by the simplest and most uneducated of people. We do not need the academy to unravel for us the mystery of the faith. God has not given us the good news of the kingdom of God that only experts in Hebrew, Greek, and ancient Near East can understand. Now, I spent 10 years at university. I've got 4 degrees. I'm a half-baked would-be pastor scholar. I love studying. I love the fact that Chris Fresh has spent his doctorate on a few Greek prepositions in the Septuagint. I think that's magnificent, actually. Magnificent. And the church will drink of that learning. We'll drink of it deeply. And we will learn from it and benefit from it. It will enable us to plumb the depths, but we must never ever forget that the most uneducated, the simplest of men and women, boys and girls, can understand the heart of the gospel. Ploughboys and ploughgirls, the uneducated, can understand without profundity that God so loved the world that he gave his Son, that whoever believes in him, the sin-bearing, sin-atoning Savior, will not perish but have everlasting life. When Paul and Silas are in prison in Philippi and God marvelously moves in that situation and there's an earthquake and the jailer comes and he cries out, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul doesn't say, "Well, that's an interesting question, you know. Greek philosophy has long pondered the meaning of save." He simply said to that uneducated jailer, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that you've heard me and Silas singing about, and you'll be saved." One of my lecturers at New College in Edinburgh died recently. I liked her very, very much. She was a brilliant philosopher. And she was my lecturer in philosophy of religion and in some aspects of philosophical divinity. She found me something of a puzzle. We got on very, very well. She was puzzled by me because I believed that every word in the Bible was true. In her mid-teens, she had professed conversion at a Scripture Union camp. But then she had turned her back on that, didn't seem to answer the deep questions of life. And maybe she had encountered evangelicals who are glib. God save us from glib evangelical Christianity. And so she devoted her life to the deep philosophical questions. And we would often talk together outside of class. I once gave her John Owen's volume 10 on the Atonement to read. She said, "I didn't like Jim Packer's introduction, but I really quite liked John Owen." But all through her life, she thought there had to be deeper answers, profounder answers, more philosophically constructed answers to the big questions of life. And all the time, the Bible was saying, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. The third thing Jesus teaches us here is that the message of the kingdom of God only benefits those who have ears to hear. Jesus says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. These are not disconnected statements, as some commentators would have you believe. Jesus is saying there is a spiritual principle at the heart of the kingdom of God. And the spiritual principle is this: the more keenly, eagerly, and avidly you listen and receive the message of the kingdom, the more the wonder and the glory of that message will be given to you. And the more you pay little attention, passing attention, indifferent attention to the message of the kingdom, even the little you have will be taken away from you. The law of diminishing returns. And so Jesus says, be all ears, pay attention to what you hear. Understanding will never be given to the casual, careless listener. Let me try and put it as dramatically as I can. If it were advertised in the local and national press that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would be the guest preacher at our evening service this evening, how many people do you think would come? Some would come out of intrigue. Some would wonder, who are these fever-brained Presbyterians? Jesus Christ, the guest preacher? Paul writes to the church in Ephesus. Some of you know where I'm going. Jesus Christ preached peace to you. Now, Jesus Christ was never in Ephesus. So how can Paul write, Jesus Christ came and preached peace to you? Because whenever the word of the kingdom of God is proclaimed in the power of the Spirit and in dependence on God, it is Jesus Christ who is the preacher. Why should you come as often as you are able to come to this congregation or wherever you normally worship? Because you like the preacher? Because you like the Celtic accent? Because you like the whatever? No. Because I'm coming to hear Jesus Christ preach. I think Jesus here is making a very simple point or deduction. If you listen eagerly and avidly to the good news of the kingdom of God, which is the King of the kingdom, God will richly bless your life. If you listen indifferently and casually to the good news of the kingdom, the little understanding you have will be taken from you. In other words, if you measure or estimate the message of God's kingdom in Jesus as momentous, you'll receive a great reward. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. You never stand still in the spiritual life. You're either going on or you're going back. Never think for one moment you're where you were yesterday or last year or 5 years ago. You've either gone on or you've gone back. So let me ask you as I close this morning, are you going on or are you going back? Do you listen casually, indifferently, or are you all ears? Do you not want to miss a word? Because if you miss a word, you never know what blessing you might be missing. Imagine people, I'm sure there are people here who think, but Ian, you're not Jesus Christ. Well, obviously. that if the Lord Jesus Christ was here, I would be like that. You know what Jesus once said to his disciples? It's for your good that I'm going away. For if I don't go away, I will not send the Comforter, the Helper, the Holy Spirit to you. Jesus Christ is here. And the amazing thing is, he uses the poverty and the paucity of men like Johnny and myself and Donald John and Peter and others to declare his truth. Are you listening with all ears this morning? The good news of God's kingdom, which is the coming, living, dying and rising of God's King, his own Son, Jesus Christ. It's the most momentous message in the cosmos, because it's the message of salvation. It's a message that speaks into the darkness of this world, light and hope. Is a lamp to be hidden under a bed? No, it's to be set on a lampstand. It's to be irradiated light. Because God wants the whole world to know of his Son. And the gospel doesn't come to us in riddles and puzzles and conundrums. It doesn't leave us saying, we'll leave it to the magisterium of the church to tell us what it all means. Yes, God gives us pastors and teachers, absolutely. But God's given us his word and he's given us his Spirit. And he's not done it in a corner. So, what kind of listener are you? What kind of listener are you? Are you sitting thinking, I don't know what you've been talking about, I've just woken up. What kind of listener are you? Are you all ears? Because this is the most momentous message in the cosmos. Because it's to do with the King of the cosmos, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, forgive us for the many times we have sat indifferently under the ministry of your word. Please forgive us, Lord, if even today we have sat casually under the ministry of your word. Please do not take the little we have away from us. But Lord, grant us the grace to be all ears. Grant us the help of the Holy Spirit to hear and to receive into our lives the glorious good news of your Son, the King, Jesus Christ. And we ask it in his name. Amen.